So today we have a very interesting story from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yesterday we heard about the Tattvavadis, how Lord Chaitanya had some philosophical discussion with the guru of the Madhva Sampradaya in Udupi, and he explained what his viewpoint, what the Gaudiya viewpoint of perfection is, to be absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna. And the goal is to attain Krishna Prem Seva, here or there, anywhere, in this world or the spiritual world. So this story is called Gopal Chapala Offends Srivas Thakur. This is from Adi Leela, chapter 17, verse 34 through 59. Tabe Prabhu Srivasera Griha Nirantar Ratri Sankirtana Koila Eka Samvatsar. Mahaprabhu regularly led congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the house of Srivas Thakur every night for one full year. Eka Samvatsara. Ratri Sankirtan. So this Ratri Kal or Ratri Sankirtan is also called Nisha. Nisha Kal or Nisha Yam. This means from 10:48 in the night, Ratri. We say Sham and Rat. Rat means night, and Sham is just around sunset time. So this Ratri Leela, this begins 10:48 and goes till 3:36 in the morning. Well, this is nocturnal, what sometimes we say the nocturnal kirtans in the house of Srivas Thakur in Navadvip, Mayapur, you must have heard. But specifically, it began at this time. And this is exactly the time of Krishna's Ras Leela. So this is, as we mentioned the other day, they're actually engaged in Ras Sankirtan, singing songs. It says here, Nam Sankirtan in the verse, which Prabhupada translates as the Maha Mantra. He generally translates the word Sankirtan as chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which they were also doing. But they're also singing quite a bit of Leela Kirtan. That's a type of Leela Kirtan also. Much, very sweet. All the birds in Vrindavan are great sages, taking that form to observe the pastimes of the Lord and remind others about them. So he was engaged, they would have Leela Kirtan, and Surab Damodar and Narhari Sakar and Vasudev Ghosh and other of the Parishads of the Lord, they would sing the different songs. They would remind the Lord, remind Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar about the Braj Leela, about the Ratri Leela in Vrindavan at the same time. And then they would enter that bhav, that braj bhav, and they would dance in Sankirtan, thinking of their Ras Leela. Of course, tonight is the night of the Ras Leela in terms of Tithi, because tonight is Purnima. Purnima ends tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Tomorrow, the day, is called Purnima, but the actual full moon night of the Sharad season is tonight. Ashwin Purnima. This is the Maharas dance, chapter 29 through 33 in the Dasama Skanda, 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Krishna book. So it's interesting where this is going on, because this is, they're in this Ras Leela, they're doing Ras Leela Kirtan. It says, Srivas Grihe Narantran. So this is, they were having their kirtan. Kapatiya Kirtana Kari Parama Avesh Pashandi Hasite Aise Napaya Pravesh. This ecstatic kirtan, Parama Avesh, they're extremely high, they were in a very high ecstatic condition. This ecstatic chanting was performed with the doors locked closed, so that the non-believers who came to make fun could not gain entrance to the kirtan. Like we lock our door also, so the non-believers cannot get in. Pashandi hasate, Hasate means to laugh. The Pashandis means the non-believers, the atheists. They may come and laugh at the Hare Krishnas. Ha, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They often do. When you go on Sankirtan in cities around the world, people often, they're called hecklers. They make fun or make faces or laugh, which isn't so bad. Sometimes they're more aggressive. Throw a beer can or two, maybe even an empty bottle. But they're not so aggressive here, at least at this stage. Kapatadiya, the door was closed. So Prabhupada says in his purport that chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is open to everyone. But sometimes non-believers come to disturb the ceremony of chanting. It is indicated herein that under such circumstances the temple doors should be closed. So Prabhupada is taking this pastime of Shiva Sangam, Ratri Leela, this Ras Kirtan with Mahaprabhu and his Antaranga Premi Bhaktas. He's comparing this to a temple, ISKCON temple somewhere, anywhere, around the world. The devotees are collected there. They're the Antaranga Bhaktas of the Sri Murti. Radha Govinda's Antaranga Bhaktas, Kishore Kishori's Antaranga Bhaktas. But different places, these deities. So then these kind of non-believers come, then they should be ejected from the temple. The door should be locked. They should be kept out. No admittance. Bona fide Krishnas only. Shika-bearing men only. So this was told, Prabhupada's telling. Only bona fide chanters should be admitted, others should not. So Prabhupada's very interesting what Prabhupada's saying here. He's saying the temples, Prabhupada is equating the ISKCON temples with Shiva's Angam. And he's equating the kirtans in the temple with the Ras Leela Ratri Yam kirtans of Shiva's Angam. When Lord Chaitanya was having the Ratri Leela kirtans from 10:48 at night until 3:36 in the morning, which is the same time as Ras Leela in Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya was having these kirtans in Shiva Sangam in the garden attached to Srivas's house. There was a gate, and the gate, only those that had the agya, had the order or invitation of Lord Chaitanya were allowed in, others were not. Therefore, only such believers and bona fide chanters should be allowed inside the Hare Krishna temples. There should be some big bouncers at the door, and someone comes to the door and says, "Are you a bona fide chanter?" They should be interviewed. Only bona fide chanters, Prabhupada says, only bona fide chanters should be admitted to the Hare Krishna temples. Others should not. Excuse me, you have a little flashlight, shine a face. "Are you a bona fide chanter?" "Yes, sir, here's my certificate. Show your Jainu, Upavita. See, look, I'm a bona fide chanter." Right? Or you say, "Yes, look." Or whatever it is, not much of it. But yeah. You pull up your sika, if you can find it. I'm seeking my sika. 35 years, it grew 1/1000th of a millimeter. Very rapid. I guess that's about as much as my bhakti is going. So it's very interesting when you look at this purport, how Prabhupada is seeing his temples. Because the ISKCON temples are his temples. He's a Samstakacharya, Samstak. He established the deities. And he's saying, these temples are for bona fide chanters only, invitation only. Others are not admitted. It's heavy. We should hang a sign outside a temple. Bona fide chanters only. Others, no admittance. Very interesting. But then he says, so that's the condition for the temples. It's very secret. It's very private, gambir. But, there's always a but to everything. When there is large-scale congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, we keep our temples open for everyone to join. And by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this policy has given good results. So he's saying, when we go out on the streets, and if we're going out on the streets and chanting in the public, Nam Sankirtan, then we're like the Pied Piper. He went through the village and played his panpipe, and all the rats came out of the kitchens, and they followed behind him and went out of town. So when we go through the cities, and all the rats come out of the buildings. I mean, people. And rat-like people. And then they file in behind the sankirtan, and then we bring them back to the temple. So then the doors are open to bring back those fallen souls. But if we're not going on sankirtan, and we're just staying with our own group, then we lock the doors. Bona fide chanters only. That's what it appears to be saying in the purport. When he said this is one condition, but so he said this is one existing condition. Only bona fide chanters are admitted, others are not. It's there in black and white. Now you have to consider this is a fact, this is a law, this is a niyam. So if you're just sitting around eating maha and chanting and worshiping the deities and relishing Hari Katha, Sadhu Sangha, that's blissful. But if you decide to do parakara upakara, welfare work, and go out on the streets and distribute the books and do Harinam, which basically we do in all our temples, then the doors are open. But when there's large-scale chanting, Nam Sankirtan, we keep our temples open for everyone. So Prabhupada's saying two things here. Temple doors are locked. That's what he's saying at first. They're locked to the non-chanter, to the non-believers, to the non-bona fide chanters. But, then he says, but when we're doing Sankirtan, and we're preaching, then our doors are open. Come on, everybody, come in. Very interesting. So what he's saying here, there's in this verse is kind of talking about Goshtiyanandi situation and Bhajanandi. Here, Goshtiyanandi means Goshta. Goshta means make sounds, loud sounds, broadcasting. The Goshta means pasturing grounds where all the cows are always bellowing or lowing. They say lowing, bellowing or lowing. So many hundreds of cows in the pasture grounds. They make all these. They fill the pasture. They fill the valleys of Govardhan with all their hum, heavy sounds. So that's called Goshta. We say Ishta Goshti, making sounds to glorify your Ishta, your Lord. So Goshta Lila. Krishna goes out to the pasturing grounds with all the cows, and they make so much noise out there. Then he plays his flute to quiet them down. Because when he plays his flute, then they say, oh, what's that? They stop making all the ruckus. They're making all this ruckus. And they hear the flute and they become enchanted. Oh, and their ears cock. And their ears become like cups to drink the liquid nectar coming from Krishna's flute. And when they take that liquid nectar, then they don't make any more noise. They don't even move. Their tail doesn't even switch. Usually they're switching flies with their tail. It acts like a switch. Their tail doesn't move, and the grass and straw in their mouth, it just, so that Krishna controls them this way. Then the only sound heard in the Goshta is Venonad. The Venonad is the sound of Krishna's Venu. And then Krishna calls each group, Shavali, Damali, Jamuna, Gange, Saraswati, Chandani. He calls the leader of each group with his flute. Everyone's quiet, all the cows are quiet, their ears are cocked, turned in the direction of Krishna's Venonad. And they're waiting. Oh, did he call our group? Then he calls Davali. Davali is a white, means white. So he calls the leader of the white cows, Davali. Then the leader of the cows goes, and then all the white ones, oh, that's our call. Let's go, girls. They all run in behind Davali. They all run up to Krishna and stick their noses up. And then Krishna taps them on the snout. Donk, 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 donk. This is called snout. Snout means nose. Tonk, 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 tonk. And then they feel so thrilled. It's like a love, it's like a love bite. Like a lover bites another lover's lips. It feels like happy in an intimacy of love. So this Krishna is tapping them on the nose. They feel, a love tap. It's a love tap. They get tapped on the snout. Then he calls Kalindi, Kalindi. And he plays the flute and calls Kalindi. She's a black cow. Then all the black cows run behind, and then Krishna tonk 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 tonk. They go oh, and then he plays some more tunes. He says, "Okay, girls, let's go." And then they go back to Nandagaon. So this way, they all fall in line. Amazing how we went from Srivasangam to we were Srivasangam, and then ended up in the pasturing grounds. What did he say? Yeah. I think I'm getting stunned in the udipans of Vrindavan Smaran. There's a problem here because there's one madman giving class and many mad ladies and gentlemen listening. Because if you had any sense, you could have recognized it long ago and left. But obviously, you must be mad also. So this is, why did Lord Chaitanya lock the doors? Because he didn't want any of the Pashandi Hasita. Hasita, Hasita means Hasiras, means laugh. He didn't want the non-believers to laugh at the devotees. It's all right to laugh with us, but it's not all right to laugh at us. It's a difference. Then he says, Kirtan Shuni Bahire Tara Jwalipuri Mare Shivasere Dukadite Nana Jukti Kare. Thus the non-believers almost burned to ashes and died out of envy. To retaliate, they planned various ways to give trouble to Srivas Thakur. Kirtana Shuni Bahire Tara Jwali Puri Mare. Puri. Puri means ashes. Jwali, like Jwalita. Jwala means fire. They were so much, because they were outside Bahir, they couldn't hear the kirtan. They became so envious, they couldn't gain entry. Ekdina Vipranam Gopala Chapala Pashandi Pradana Se Durmuka Bachala Bhavani Pujara Sabha Samagri Lana Ratre Shiva Seradwari Stana Lepana. So the Pradhan, the chief, Pradhan means chief or main. Pashandi Pradhan means the main atheist, the big atheist, the chief of the non-believers. Say Durmukha Vachala. Mukha means face. Dur means bad. So when you speak very ferocious and bad words, it says you have Durmukha Vachala. Vachala means talkative. So one night, while the kirtan was going on inside Shiva Sangam, a Brahmin, because Shiva Thakur is also a Brahmin, and everyone inside the kirtan practically was a Brahmin. Another Brahmin, Pashandi Pradhan, the chief of the Pashandis, or atheist, so-called atheistic Brahmin, or non-believing Brahmin, Smartatai Brahmin, named Gopal Chapal, the chief of the non-believers, who was very talkative and very rough in his speech, placed all the paraphernalia for worshipping the goddess Durga outside Srivas Thakur's home. Because there are usually different classes of worshippers in India. Someone might be a Shakta, of course in this time period, even now, in Navadvipa, most people were Shaktas. They were worshipping Durga. Kali Bhairav and different forms of Chandi and different forms of Durga. And they're called Shaktas, those that worship the Shakti. And some are, of course, Shaivites. Shaivites worship Lord Shiva or Shaktas. Then at this time, in Navadvipa, and even now, the minority of the people were Vaishnavas. Very small number. So Srivas Thakur, obviously, from birth, he was a Vaishnava. And he was gathering, he's quite a bit older than Lord Chaitanya. And he was gathering regularly, meeting regularly with Advaita and Haridas, and Chandrasekhar Acharya, Nandan Acharya, and other Pandits and Brahmins, and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and engaging in Harinam Sankirtan. So they were quite in the minority, very few of them, a handful. But they're very dedicated, sincere, and devout worshippers of Lakshmi Narayan, or rather, Radha Krishna, and of course Lord Chaitanya ultimately. So in order to defame him, he put all the puja paraphernalia of Durga, or Bhavani, one form of Durga, Bhavani, outside of Shivas's gate or door. Because when Bhavani, when one worships Kali Bhairav in this tantric path, she is worshipped with all kinds of unusual articles, pots full of blood and bones and flesh and wine and entrails and all kinds of interesting puja paraphernalia. not exactly like chandan and musk and lotus flowers. It's rather tamasic dravya. Vishnu is worshipped with sattvic dravya, pure substances. And purity is very important. Durga is worshipped with impure substances. Of course, that's not true. Actually, purity is also important. Because in a sacrifice, the human sacrifice in fifth canto, they were going to sacrifice, Judd Bharat, I suppose. They captured Judd Bharat, and they're going to sacrifice him. And then, of course, that isn't the point I was making. But there's a story, he was pure, but there's a story about Krishna's mercy. Everyone must have heard. The king and a minister. So one day the king was hunting, and somehow his bowstring caught his thumb. He had his thumb, he didn't have his thumb in the right position. His thumb slipped on the bow like this, and when the bowstring or the arrow, somehow he cut his left thumb off. The king, and that makes it a little difficult to do archery. The confidential minister of the king, when he saw that, he said, "Oh, Krishna's mercy." Because the minister was a great devotee. And he saw everything as Krishna's mercy, good, bad, whatever. So the king said, "What is this? Is it Krishna's mercy? I lost my thumb." He said, "Yes, yes, my lord, my master, it is Krishna's mercy." "Oh, you're making a joke. Now you go to the dungeon." So he said, he ordered his men, "Lock my minister in a dungeon, in the prison." So then the minister said, "Oh, Krishna's mercy." Go to the dungeon. So then, no, because that's what the king said. "Oh, you want to know Krishna's mercy? Here's Krishna's mercy. Go to the dungeon. Go to the prison." And the minister said, "Yes, yes, this is Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy." And he went to the dungeon. We stayed there for about a week. And meanwhile, during that course of the week, the king went out hunting without the minister, who he usually takes with him, his very confidential advisor. So in the forest, the minister was ambushed by some gundas and dacoits. The king. The king was ambushed by some gundas and dacoits, and they took him into custody, and they bound him up, and they drove away all of his guards. He was overpowered by the gundas. And they decided to make a human sacrifice to goddess Kali. So they bathed him in a river, and they cleaned his body and dressed him in fine clothes, and they put him on the chopping block to chop his head off and offer his chopped head to goddess Kali Bhairav. And before they lower the guillotine on him, they say, "Wait, stop! He can't be offered. He's impure." "Why?" "One thumb is missing. You can't offer a body. It has to be a perfect body. All the digits and arms and legs, everything has to be there." So they released him. And then he went back. And immediately he got the minister out of jail. And he said, "Yes, minister, I went hunting. And because I had previously cut my thumb up practicing archery or shooting the bow and arrow, because of that, I was saved from having my head cut off by Kali worshippers. So now I realize your statement that this was Krishna's mercy. However, I have a question. How is it that you're being thrown in the dungeon, you're being confined in the dungeon for 1 week? How do you accept that and consider that to be Krishna's mercy?" "Oh, my king, your royal highness, as you know, whenever you go somewhere, you always take me. And if I had accompanied you on that fateful journey into the forest to go hunting, then the dacoits would have caught you and me. And I have all my fingers. So my head would have been on the chopping block. So therefore, it's Krishna's mercy that you detained me in the prison and saved my head, as Krishna saved my head as well as he saved yours. So you see, everything is Krishna's mercy." So this is the idea. So now this Brahmin, Gopal Chapel, he's scheming how to defame Srivast Thakur. "Oh, you won't let me enter the kirtan? The doors are locked every night I come there? You're making so much noise, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, and all this other stuff." You know what that is? Like that, Bengali ladies. It's called ululating. It's supposed to be like a peacock, ecstatic peacock. When everyone's dancing in ecstasy, then the peacock. So when all the devotees are dancing in the Nam Kirtan, Gaur Kirtan, then the ladies, they give support by bringing that Braj Bhav, that Braj atmosphere, into the Mayapur. That's the sound of peacocks. It was happening, it's been happening a long time. It's been happening since Nandotsav. When Krishna was born, the next day was Nandotsav, the celebration of his birthday in the village of Gokul. And all the ladies were making the same sound. So sometimes Western people, they hear that and say, oh, that's weird, man. I mean, gee, what's all that? No. But it's actually very auspicious. It's called Mangaladwani. Mangaladwani means auspicious sound. It's very auspicious, and Krishna likes it, whether you like it or not. Right? The object is not to please your ears, it's to please his ears. So if you hear that going on, and you think, oh, this is nice. Sometimes we're doing kirtan, and a group of Bengali ladies go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Then I think, oh, this is good. This is very good. That means they like it, or somehow their super soul is inspiring them, and they're making the sound. So this Pashandi, Gopal Chapala, he was very talkative and rough in speech, which just sounds like the qualities of the demons. He placed all the paraphernalia for worshipping goddess Durga outside Shivas Thakur's house. In other words, he was trying to incriminate him. Guilt by inference. People would infer. This is a way to acquire knowledge, by inference. They would walk by his house and see all this blood on his doorstep. Pots of blood and guts and bird feathers and all these weird things that are used in Durga Puja. And say, what's Shivas up to at night? Now I know it. He's actually doing some ultra-secret worship, midnight puja of goddess Bhavani. Look at all these ghastly things on his doorstep. All along I knew he was a Shakta. He's pretending to be a Vaishnava. He's actually a Shakta after material power. We should drive him out from here. This community of Brahmins, he's a disgrace to the Brahmin community. This should be exposed immediately. Call in the press. Take photos. This was his idea. The Prabhupada's purport. Gopal Chapal wanted to defame Shrivas Thakur by proving that he was actually a Shakta, or a worshipper of Bhavani, the goddess Durga, but externally he was posing as a Vaishnav. In Bengal, there is a perpetual competition between the devotees of goddess Kali and the devotees of Lord Krishna. Generally, Bengalis, especially those who are meat eaters and drunkards, are very much attached to worshipping goddess Durga, Kali, Shitala, and Chandi. Such devotees, who are known as Shaktas, or worshippers of the Shakti Tattva, are always envious of Vaishnavas. Since Shrivas Thakur was a well-known, respected Vaishnava in Navadvip, Gopal Chapal wanted to reduce his prestige by bringing him down to the platform of the Shaktas. Therefore, outside Shrivas Thakur's door, he placed various paraphernalia for worshipping Bhavani, the wife of Lord Shiva, such as a red flower, a plantain leaf, a pot of wine, red sandalwood paste. In the morning, when Shrivas saw all this paraphernalia in front of his door, he called all the respectable people in the neighborhood, all the high-class Brahmins, all the Mishras and Bhattacharyas and Upadhyayas. He wasn't ashamed, he wasn't afraid, he wasn't embarrassed, he didn't go hide, he didn't wash it away, and he immediately called. And he showed them that at night he was worshipping Bhavani. Interesting. Very sorry. These gentlemen called for a sweeper to cleanse the place and purify it by sprinkling water and cow dung at the front door of Shivas Thakur. This is explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Kalara Patopare Tuila Udaful Haridra Sindurara Rakta Chandan Tandul. It's the same thing in verses. Prabhupada gave a prelude. On the upper portion of the plantain leaf, plantain is like banana leaf, Gopal Chapal, he placed turmeric, odaful, this type of red flower, vermilion, red sandalwood, and rice. Madhyabanda Pashedari, Nijagare Gela, Pratakale Shivastaha, Tadekila. Gopal Chapal placed a bottle of wine next to all this. Next morning, around 6 o'clock at sunrise, after the kirtan, Pratakal, Shivas opened his door and saw all the paraphernalia. Barabara Loka Sabha, Anila Bolaya, Sabare Kahai, Kahai Shivas, Hasiya Hasiya. Shivas called all the respectable gentlemen, Barabara Loka Sabha, of the neighborhood and smilingly addressed them as follows. He was not disturbed, he was not angry, he was not feeling any revenge. Who's done this? Who has done this to me? Who's put this in front of my side? I'll get to the bottom of this. Whoever this is, he'll be sorry. I'll call the police, the army, the navy. I'll exterminate this person. I'll get... What is he trying to do? This is abominable. He's laughing it off. Who the heck is... You can probably gather who it was. He's just laughing. He called all his friends. Hey, look, everybody, look at this. Last night I was drinking wine, eating meat, and then worshiping Bhavani. Do you believe it? They say, no. It's a little hard to believe, Srivas. Nitya ratre kariyami Bhavani pujan Amara mahima deka Brahmana sajan. Srivas Thakur addressed all the Upadhyas, Mishras, and Bhattacharyas who were gathered at his front door. Gentlemen, every night I worship Goddess Bhavani. Since the paraphernalia for the worship is here, now all you respectable Brahmins and members of the higher caste, you can understand my position. Tabe sabe shishta loka kare hahakar aiche karma hita koila kona dhurachar. Then all the assembled gentlemen, when they heard this from Shivas, they said, ha ha! Alas, alas! What is this? What is this? Who has performed such mischievous activities? Who is that sinful man? Durachar. Kon Durachar. Achar, right? Behavior. Dura means bad. Very bad. Very, very bad. Achar, Durachar. Aiche Karma. Who's done this work? Harike Aniyashaba Dura Karaila Jalagomaya Diyase Stana Lepaila. They called for a sweeper, Bangi, who threw all the items of worship far away and he cleansed the place by mopping it with a mixture of water and cow dung. Tina Dina Rahise Gopala Chapal Sarvange Haila Kushta Wahi Raktadhar. After 3 days, leprosy attacked Gopal Chapal and blood oozed from sores all over his body. Raktadhara, wahe, discharging red blood, holding blood. Kushta means leprosy. Sarvange, all his limbs. Very interesting point. When you read in different places, when it talks about Vaishnava Aparad, different shastras, depending on the level of advancement of the Vaishnava whom one offends, the reaction is according. Anyway, there's the greater the Vaishnava, the greater the reaction. So it says that one will get the reaction from Vaishnava Aparad, and it gives some time period. It says within 3 days, and we use terms like this. It says 3 days, 3 months, or maximum 3 years. For example, you may make an offense to Mahabhagavat, a very great devotee, today. Very grave offense, verbal or physical or whatever. And then you're going on, you seem to go on, chant here and chant, whatever. 1 day, 1 month, 1 year, 2 years. Then at the third year, then you'll lose all taste for devotion, become very interested in material activity, and you'll fall away. Bhakti will leave you. Why 3 years? That's the Lord's mercy. Because now 3 years, maybe you can come to your senses realize your mistake and fall at the feet of that person you offended and beg for forgiveness. But this is what they say, 3 days, 3 months, or 3 years. I remember years ago in ISKCON, there was some devotees were there, and they were leaders of the movement. And they were engaged in all kinds of questionable activities, lots of questionable activities, and even many offensive activities. And then some devotees would come to me, God brothers or others. They say, "How is it? How is it this person is going on? They seem to be going on with their position and their service and their preaching, but they're so offensive to other Vaishnavas and to more advanced Vaishnavas, but nothing seems to be happening." I said, "Just wait. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off." And blast off they do in a glorious and grand way. Where they went, I cannot say. So this is a fact that no one can escape the reaction to Vaishnava Parad unless they make amends and atone for the offense in the prescribed methods. If you make the offense and just go on business as usual, the reaction will come. So there's many. Also, the same thing happened with Haridas Thakur. He was offended, and exactly 3 days later, the person's nose fell off. The same figure is there, 3 days. Because they're given 3 days to come to their senses. Because Krishna is merciful. Because Gopal Chapal is also some kind of Brahmin. Pashandi Pradhan, but he said he's a Brahmin. But he was an atheist. Mayavadi or whatever. It's not said, but... So, in 3 days, he got a heavy reaction for his offense to Srivas Thakur. In other words, the conclusion, what I was saying is that if we offend a Vaishnava and then we realize that we should act on it pretty fast. In other words, you have 72 hours to get on it. It's like they have like in the material world, if you get bitten by a dog, if you get bitten by a dog that has rabies, in 7 days, if you don't do something, you'll get rabies and die. So when you first get bitten, nothing happens. They bite you and the rabies goes into your blood and moves around here and there. And after 7 days, then it takes over and you start foaming at the mouth and you actually start barking like a dog. And the whole brain gets seized up. It's pretty very painful disease, die of rabies. So you don't know it. You get bitten, you say, "Ah, a dog bit me." Usually people get rabies shots quite fast, or take a tablet. So that's, this Vaishnava Parad is like rabies. It's like getting bitten by a mad dog. We say the mad elephant offense, but it's more like the mad dog offense. Mad bulldog offense. You get bitten and then you die in 3 days. So Krishna is giving some reprieve. That generally the sincere Vaishnava, although sometimes even sincere Vaishnavas inadvertently or even intentionally sometimes make an offend a very great devotee or an advanced devotee, and they don't realize it at the moment, but then after the fact, the aftermath, or after the fact, in the moments of solitude or while chanting the holy name, they recollect that interlude with that Vaishnava and they think, "Oh, actually, I did the wrong thing. I said the wrong thing, or I acted the wrong way." And some inspiration comes from Paramatma. He should rectify the situation. I did wrong. So then, and that all will happen very quickly. That'll happen within the 72-hour time limit. Within the 72-hour time limit, this three-day time limit. In other words, Krishna is giving us a chance to rectify ourselves. And then we go back and we fall at the feet of that Vaishnava. Say, "Oh Prabhu, I'm very sorry. Here, first we come and say, "I bought you some Mahaprasad. Here's some Radha Madhav Mahaprasad. You please accept this." And he says, "Oh, thank you." And then he will generally say, "How can I serve you?" Because Vaishnavas always want to serve others. "How may I serve you?" He said, and then he'll say, "Yes, if you can be so kind to serve me by forgiving me for my offense," and you fall at his feet and offer heartfelt obeisances with all genuine mood of submission and repentance. And beg that Vaishnava, please forgive me, I've offended you. And without, if you don't forgive me, there's no hope for me, all is lost for me. I cannot progress one more inch in devotion. Because if you do not forgive me, then Bhakti Devi will withdraw from me. She will move out of my heart. And Krishna will withdraw his support from me. And the ground that I'm standing on will exist no longer. And I will fall flat on my face. So I'm very much dependent on your mercy and your kindness. Please forgive me. I like this, other things one might say. And beg forgiveness. And then that's done within the 72 hours, then your nose won't fall off after 3 days. Like Gopal Chapal, he got leprosy. Sarvanga bedi lakite kate nirantar asaya vedana duke jwalaye antar. Instantly Gopal Chapal became covered with germs and insects biting him all over his body. Because they're all this leprosy, all open, his skin was breaking out open sores. There's all pus and blood coming there, and then all the insects land there, flies and other insects. They land on that pus and sores, and they start eating that plasma and pus and all the gooky, oozy stuff coming out. And while they're eating it, they're biting him and biting his exposed nerves and so many germs. And his entire body was burning in distress. Gange gatte brikshatali rahine vasya ek dina bhale kichu prabhu ke dekhiya. Since leprosy is a very infectious disease, can be given to others, Gopal Chapal left the village to sit down on the bank of the Ganga underneath a tree. Ganga gat brikshatali rahi. He started living under a tree alone outside the village on the bank of the Ganga. One day, however, he saw Mahaprabhu passing by and he spoke to him as follows. Grama sambandayami tomara matula bagina muikushta vyadite hanachi vyakula. Gopal Chapal said to Mahaprabhu, "My dear nephew, I am your maternal uncle in our village relationship. Please see how greatly this attack of leprosy has afflicted me. Lokasabha udarite tomara avatar muni baraduki more karaha udhar. You, as an incarnation of God, you are delivering so many fallen souls. Lokasabha udarite. Udar means deliverance. Udhar. Deliverance or welfare work, Udhar, Parama Udhar, Avatar. I am also greatly unhappy fallen soul. Kindly deliver me by your mercy." Prabhupada's purport. Although Gopal Chapal was sinful, talkative, and insulting, he nevertheless had the qualification of Saralata. Simplicity. He believed Mahaprabhu to be the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who had come to deliver the fallen souls. And therefore he applied or appealed for his own deliverance, seeking the mercy of the Lord. He did not know, however, that the deliverance of the fallen souls does not consist of curing their bodily diseases. Although, it is also a fact that when a man is delivered from the material clutches, his material bodily diseases are automatically cured. Now, obviously, when you're liberated, there's no more body. There's no more diseases. Gopal Chapal simply wanted to be delivered from leprosy and the suffering thereof. But Sri Chaitanya, although accepting his sincere appeal, wanted to inform him of the real cause of suffering. And that we'll hear tomorrow.
Should it go to excuse or not deserve?
Yeah, that's Vishwanath's commentary, actually.
You are always to take the dust of the feet of the person
who offends. If one is offended, Mataji is telling, And Vishnu Chakravarti gives one purport in Bhagavatam, third canto. And Vishnu is saying that even a Vaishnava may forgive another that has offended him, but the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava won't. Because the dust is, you can actually say the dust is representing Krishna, because Krishna always follows the Vaishnava, wherever the Vaishnava goes. So besides begging with words for forgiveness and giving some gift of charity, some mahaprasadam or some gift, to appease the offended Vaishnava, one is also, which I mentioned, one should fall, maybe I neglected, one should approach him by falling down and paying obeisances, falling in the dust of his feet. And first he actually begs the dust of his feet. The devotee should fall down, pay dandabhats at the feet of the Vaishnava, touch his feet, or maybe that might be a little hard sometimes, but at least come in contact with the dust from his feet and beg the dust to forgive him. Because the dust is taking offense also. This is the point she's making. And then, and only then, if the dust of the feet of the Vaishnava forgives us, will the offense be removed from our heart and mind.